Welcome to Email After Hours by Senderscore, powered by Validity.
We're your hosts. My name is Guy Hansen.
And I'm Danielle Gallant, and this is Email After Hours. Welcome, everyone, to a very special Valentine's Day episode of Email After Hours. And of course, today we're going to talk about love, or at least we hope so. In the United States alone, consumers are expected to spend $26 billion U.S. dollars this year. And of course, on what's supposed to be the most romantic holiday of the year, marketers are sending email campaigns promoting just about everything. Candy and confectionery, jewelry, experiences, clothing, nearly every industry is in the midst of reminding subscribers to purchase to make their loved ones feel special. Just take a look at your own inboxes today. I'd wager most of the emails you're getting are themed in pink and red.
And love is potentially in the air for more than just email marketers. And in the week leading up to Valentine's Day, dating apps see a huge bump in new users. And I sort of got to say it, Danielle and I have both forayed into the world of working with dating email programs over the years, both from the client and the sender side. In today's episode, we're going to touch on that as part of our broader conversation about Valentine's Day. Shall we jump in?
Let's. Guy, to kick us off, I'm going to put you on the spot. Any best or worst first date stories that you're willing to share?
Oh, man, I can probably tell you both. We'll start with the worst. It was in my early 20s, and I managed to get a date with a lovely lady. I mean, I was seriously punching above my weight with this one, and we were going to go out on Valentine's Day for our first date. And maybe because I was a bit nervous about it, but I allowed myself to be persuaded by a couple of my friends to sort of double up, and we went out as a group. And probably the easiest way to explain the story is one of those friends, his name was the Wurlitzer Puke Box, because it kind of described how he managed his booze. And true to form, that's exactly how the evening ended up. And what can I say? She wasn't impressed. It wasn't a great first date. And she was very nice about it, but she kind of said, I just don't think we'll see each other again. It's probably better. So I was devastated. The upside was that the next year, I took another lovely lady out for a Valentine's Day dinner, and she became my wife. So all good things, you know, have a happy ending, I guess.
Wow. Can I just say you're really swinging for the fences on Valentine's Day first dates?
You know, there was a third part to that, because having met her a year later, we got engaged on Valentine's Day too. So there you go. What about you, Danielle? Any sort of Valentine's or dating experiences you're going to share with us before we get into email marketing?
I was just pausing, dreading being asked this question. Honestly, I don't really have any Valentine's Day horror stories or major successes. I think I just try to like back up against the wall and just like watch usually on Valentine's Day. But I will say, just because it's hard to not tell this story, I was on dating apps, as so many people are, and I'd kind of given up. I think if you talk to anybody who's on dating apps, they're just like, ugh, I'm turning notifications off for these or whatever, I'm moving on. And I got a notification, an email that was like, you have a new connection or compatibility match, I think is what they called it. And so, of course, I was intrigued and I went through and it was my ex-boyfriend. I was like, okay, okay.
So listen, as I mentioned in the intro, we'll start by going way back in time, work-wise, when we were sort of both relative newbies in the email world. And strangely, we both happen to have experience working or consulting for dating programs. You reckon we should give our listeners a quick rundown?
I think we have to.
Okay, I'll go first because it'll probably...
Please start. I can't... first of all, to preface this, I think dating programs, at least in my experience, is a generous.
I feel like the ones we're going to talk about, it's like a euphemism. But anyway, certainly from my side, when I started my consulting career with ReturnPath over 10 years ago, they had a lot of, again, that euphemism, and I'll say this in inverted commas, adult dating centers. And as the newbie in the team, I was assigned all of these consulting projects that nobody else wanted to touch. And it meant that I had to sign up a lot of dating profiles. And I still get beaten up with this one. The Silverstone Stallion was one of my favorites and most regularly used personas. And then, of course, I had to engage as though I was a real punter. And at first, it made my wife really nervous. I think she wondered, what if I overstepped the mark in terms of how I chose to engage as part of my project research? But after a while, she relaxed. And I suddenly realized that that was when my online dating exploits actually started to become a steady topic of conversation whenever our friends came round for dinner. It was like, so, Guy, why don't you tell our friends who you've been working with this week? That would keep the conversation going for at least another 30 minutes. So, yeah, that was my early days. What about you, Danielle?
There was no shortage of stories. That's absolutely right. And again, I'm with you. As I said, dating, maybe generous, adult dating, let's say for sure. And I think that what was interesting about my experience was we weren't using a standard ESP. I don't know if that's because like legally we had some problems where we couldn't use. I'm sure that's not true. But we were our own in-house ESP. So, I mean, not only did I get to see how the inner workings of online dating really worked, I got to learn how to manage an entire like back-end system. I got to see bounce codes and all the fun stuff that we geek out on. So, and now dating programs, they don't really do email the same way anymore, particularly not when it comes to apps, which of course favor push notifications. But Valentine's Day is definitely still a thing, and it's currently flooding our inboxes. However, promotional timing is a little bit different for Valentine's Day, isn't it, Guy?
I think that's absolutely right, because there's a fine line in terms of when to start. I think a lot of consumers are still catching their breath after the peak sale season and the festive season. And now, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, you're deep into January and the weather's appalling and you're probably still broke from December. And so you're not really thinking about that next big spend just yet. You know, it's the whole principle of Blue Monday, which is an established part of the marketing calendar in the UK and I believe is starting to catch on with the US. You know, so consumers and their bank accounts are still in recovery mode, I guess. You can't go too soon with this sort of next big cycle on the promotional calendar, can you?
It's true. And the promotional window is kind of narrow, certainly more than other big retail events or holidays. The shelf life alone of typical products is often very short. And there's a big gap between consideration, what are we going to buy, which happens weeks before, and actually purchasing, which is sometimes days before or day of.
Got to tell you, in our household, the shelf life of Valentine's chocolates is pretty short after they've been bought. Anyway, so I think one of those challenges is that, you know, because of those factors that you've just described, segmenting campaigns can be a little tricky for Valentine's Day. And think about it, customers might be shopping with the same brand this year as they did last year, but perhaps it's not for the same partner. Or maybe a shopper is newly single. So how can senders make sure that they're sending the right message to the right subscriber without relying exclusively on past purchase history?
I feel like it's one of the, we say it a lot, but especially when it comes to romance or love, you have to ask for feedback from your subscribers, even if a customer isn't shopping for a partner. Let's say they may be shopping for a pet. Certainly, I'm going to get a little gift for my dog, Nixon, on Valentine's Day, even if it's just a little treat. Or Galentine's Day. This is definitely a thing. Or maybe even just treating themselves. Sales apply to us too. Right, Guy? What else?
I'm a huge fan of thinking that every email program right now should be offering their subscribers a snooze option. I think sensitive marketers understand that. They know that Valentine's Day isn't for everyone. Like you're just saying, you might be single this year. You might even have had a bereavement and you're not in the mood for celebrating it, and you don't want it stuffed down your throat in your inbox every day. And I think providing a temporary opt-out, that snooze option, should be an essential email best practice. I saw some research from Oracle a little while back saying some distinct upsides, and that for programs that have implemented a snooze, they bring that unsubscribe, their long-term opt-out rates, down by 80% or so. So there's a real upside there. And I think also approach the holiday campaigns with the right tone, touch of humor. We'll talk about a few humorous examples in a moment if it makes sense for your brand. And I think also be aware of new trends. I think the one that has caught my eye over the past couple of weeks is the concept of situationships is a real thing. You're laughing already. Yeah, what the hell's a situationship and how should we market to them? So believe it or not, the term has now appeared in a Taylor Swift song, so it's got to be a real thing. A situationship is effectively a casual romance bearing some of the hallmarks of a formal relationship, but without the commitment. So there's a brand new audience to market to. And how might you segment for that audience, Danielle?
I think it's just kind of hilarious. There are probably, I mean, situationship is like the most formal word for that. I don't know. But certainly, I think that if you're segmenting your campaigns out, you're getting feedback all the time about what subscribers want. And when you say situationship, I start thinking of the way that cross-channel promotion can really work together to understand your audience. Because when I hear situationship, not to reveal how old I am, but I think of Facebook, where it's like, Danielle is in a situationship with.
Yeah.
And yeah. Who knows? A situationship covers a lot of ground. And yeah, you're making me laugh with this one for sure.
I heard a great example from Sweethearts Candy, and they are actually now doing a situationships box for Valentine's Day, where some of the sort of seriously loved up messages like true love and only you have been blurred out for situationship couple. How do you like that?
I think it's clever. And that's that humor that you're trying to fold in sometimes, right? Like, it can't be taken too seriously. And speaking of humor, I cannot let this recording go by without asking about a Valentine's Day campaign and product that you told me about.
I know what's going on.
You're rubbing your eyes, which on the surface, it sounds completely inappropriate, but is actually super successful. And that is the love sausage, people. Guy, please explain the love sausage.
Deep breath. The love sausage. Okay, so in the UK, we have Marks and Spencers. They are a upmarket, sort of supermarket and clothing retailer. And a couple of years ago, their Valentine's promotion was the love sausage. And it was basically a beautifully packaged long sausage in the shape of a heart. And you got the little egg shaper so that you could do your fried egg in the shape of a heart as well. And the whole campaign just went viral. And I think there was two reasons that it worked. I think the one is that if you live in the UK or if you know M&S, you'll know that they are one of those most straight-laced, slightly stuffed shirt, Middle England brands you could ever wish to find. So for them, doing something a little risque like this was hugely amusing. And I think the other is that the great British public responds to that. They love the idea of humor where it's a little bit smutty, it's a little bit innuendo-laden. And because of that, the Marks and Spencer's love sausage flew off the shelves. And as people read about it, you were going into Marks and Spencer's sort of 2 or 3 days before Valentine's Day, and there weren't any anymore. No.
A new classic gift. A new classic gift. Is that right?
Speaking of classic gifts, let me tell you another of my favorites, Danielle, and can't wait to hear your reaction to this one. But last year, San Diego Zoo came up with genius. The promotion was called Cry Me a Cockroach. And basically, for $10, the zoo would name a cockroach after your not-so-special someone, your ex, and they would feed it to an animal. So, you know, like a really cold but direct message that you're no longer interested. And all of the donors received a digital Valentine's Day card showing their support for the zoo. And if they wanted, they could send a digital Valentine's Day card to the ex as well. And you could upgrade as well. For $25, you could actually have a rodent rather than just a cockroach.
Oh.
And if you wanted to go the platinum option, $150 upgrade, they would do a personalized video message to the recipient showing their cockroach or rodent or a vegetable, if you wished, being devoured by the animal that it was fed to. So there you go. I mean, who said romance is dead?
Or a vegetable. For all you vegans and vegetarians. That's so crazy, but it's amazing. I love the creativity there. And again, I love the humor. But your example begs the question, can any brand, like regardless of the industry they're in, do Valentine's Day? Or maybe the better question is, should they promote for Valentine's Day?
Do we really want to get a Valentine's Day campaign from my bank, for example? I actually have a great relationship with HSBC. I think they're an excellent bank, but I don't want our relationship to sort of go into the territory of, hey, we really love you. No, we don't. Just give me a mortgage and give me a great interest rate on my savings account and we'll be cool. And I think the thing is, it's because Valentine's Day campaigns are so prolific. I think it fools senders whose products and services absolutely do fit the bill to get creative. And last year, one of my favorites was, there's an online card retailer here in the UK called Moonpig. And they moved really quickly as the ChatGPT revolution was starting to gather steam. And they basically offered it to their customers. So as they were ordering their online cards and weren't quite sure what the sort of perfect message was going to be, and I suspect this was more the guys than the girls, they could use ChatGPT to generate personalized messages or poems without having to scratch their heads and find the right words. Can you imagine it? Roses are red, violets are yellow. Please, 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 won't you let me be your fellow? You know, how can you resist?
Creativity and standing out in the inbox on major retail days is tricky. And we've talked about this in many of our email after hours episodes. So have you seen anything particularly unique about ways that senders have managed to cut through the noise? I saw last year, a couple of Valentine's Day specific Bimmy logos next to the sender's name. So it was still recognizable. Clearly the sender still had the logo, but just a little bit of a Valentine's Day themed that I thought was pretty interesting. How about you?
I really like that. I was wondering, after we did our look back at Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and we saw several senders, Hickory Farms, a good idea, doing the same kind of thing with their friendly froms and just tweaking them to be event-specific Hickory Farms on Black Friday. And I was looking in my email accounts to see if any of the senders were doing anything similar for this Valentine's Day. And I didn't see anything like that yet, but I did notice one trend, and it sort of comes back to what we're saying about when do you start promoting Valentine's Day and how soon is too soon? And certainly the trend in my inboxes is that the Valentine's traffic started coming in around about the 15th of January or so. But even then, I figure, you know, that some of the senders were perhaps aware that maybe they were pushing their luck a little bit. Perhaps it was like a little bit soon with Valentine's still a month out. And the really interesting trend I saw was the way that they were balancing the pre-header text, the second subject line, if you will, with the main subject line. And pretty much up until the end of January, far more of the actual Valentine's references were in the pre-header. And it was almost like they were saying, we want to get these Valentine's promotions out, but we don't want them to be too in your face. We'll keep them a little bit more subtle. And only really since the last few days of January, and as we've moved into February, that Valentine's reference has suddenly become a lot more present in the actual subject line rather than the pre-header. And I don't know whether it's an intentional strategy, but it's a clearly visible trend. And if it has been thought through, it's quite a clever one.
Agreed. I totally agree. I'm actually going to go back through my mailbox now to see how many brands have been trying to like subliminally message me with some Valentine's Day stuff.
Now, listen, it feels like you've been throwing all the questions at me so far, so I'm going to put one to you. You mentioned Bimmy a moment ago, the showing of a authorized and approved logo next to your emails in the inbox. And because Bimmy relies on DMARC, it got me thinking about the big news story of the moment, which is, of course, the new Gmail and Yahoo bulk sender requirements, which have officially come into play this month. So what do you think, Daniel? Are Gmail and Yahoo going to end marketers' love affair with the inbox? Or is it going to be a different outcome?
God, DMARC, the most romantic topic that we could be discussing today. I think that what you have called Yahoogle in is basic. What they're doing is basically a form of tough love, right? It's going to cause some initial pain. And certainly the discussion that we've seen, I don't think I've seen so much discussion about any like one topic since Apple's mail privacy protection or MPP came, and it was referred to then as like the apocalypse for, for standard email metrics. But ultimately, mailbox providers are going to enforce standards like this, and senders will benefit from greater trust and engagement, which of course are two hallmarks of any successful relationship. What do you think, Guy?
Nicely done. All I can say is plus one. I think you're right. We were speaking to Marcel from Yahoo recently. In fact, sneak peek, he's going to be our next guest on this podcast. And he actually emphasized that whole principle of trust. He's saying that it's important for subscribers to be able to trust the senders that are putting these messages in their inboxes. And he said it's also vital for the mailbox providers like Yahoo and Gmail to be able to trust those senders too. And I think once trust exists in both of those directions, then you're probably in equilibrium between you, the mailbox providers, and your customers. And that's when your program performance is really going to hum.
I totally agree. And I'm excited to have Marcel back to chat more about this. I just think there are so many questions still. But before we completely veer off of Valentine's Day, and really before we start to close out the episode, I have to ask, do you have any favorite Valentine's Day email campaigns that you've ever seen or that you've received?
Our regular listeners, they'll know that I have a bit of a soft spot for the email program from Firebox. And if you don't know who they are, they're effectively an online novelty store. And you can find a load of stuff there that you never knew you needed until you see it. So taking a step back, a couple of years ago, they did this really great Mother's Day email. And it had an animated GIF that kept scrolling through the picture frame, listing all the reasons that you might have let mom down over the past year. And the call to action in their email was a simple one. It's time to put things right. It's time to buy your way to a clean conscience. Shop now with Firebox for the perfect Mother's Day gift. So as you might gather, you know, their sort of whole tone is slightly irreverent. It touches on that humor again, but they do a great job of it. I saw their most recent Valentine's email yesterday. And what can I say? They've come up with this immortal line. Love is like gas. If you have to force it, it's probably shit. Now,
and just so everybody knows, Guy and I work off of like a little bit of a plan when we do these episodes. And there's just this line, love is like gas. Like in the middle. I'm just looking at it now.
I'm sorry. I know it's probably right down there with the worst schoolboy humor, but it was quite funny. And in a crowded inbox, you've got to stand out somehow. And yeah, there you go. They definitely stand out. What about you, Danielle? You know, sort of going back to all the programs you've had experience of working with over the years, what's your biggest aha moment that you want to share with us before we sign off?
A little bit less crude than love is like gas, for sure.
It was funny.
So funny. I think, honestly and seriously, when I worked for a sender that did emails about adult dating or dating or whatever, there's the inclination to think that it's kind of humorous, right? But at some point, it just becomes a job. And what I learned is that dating emails can be so emotionally charged. Like the subscriber response can be so serious or dramatic, whether that's positive engagement or negative engagement, like maybe spam complaints, that people who work for marketing programs or email programs on the dating end of things, they have seen it all. They are so knowledgeable about all of the little intricacies of the email ecosystem. So never underestimate somebody who's worked in an email program for a dating site or a dating company. They have seen some stuff. I think you would agree.
Oh, absolutely. And they all end up on podcasts.
Exactly.
Anyway, there we go. So you've got the...
So happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, indeed. It's been an awesome episode, Danielle. I've loved talking about this with you. And hopefully in between the jokes, there's been a couple of great takeaways, which our customers can take and apply to their email programs. So that's it. Remind us again what's happening next time out.
Next time, as you gave a little teaser, we will be speaking with Marcel Becker, who is Senior Director of Project Management at Yahoo. And we are going to get into the nitty-gritty on Yahoo and Gmail, or Yahoogle's news sender requirements that will basically be 1 month into enforcement. So everybody's going to be on the ride.
Sounds awesome. We'll see you then. Be sure to tune in next time and hit subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And don't forget to visit senderscore.com for loads more great resources to help you become a stronger sender.
To all you sleepless senders out there, thank you for joining us after hours, and see you next time.